Titus chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 8, and we're going to read this passage responsively. I am going to do something today. Once you get there, look at me. I don't think I've done this but two other times in the last 2 years plus, but I'm going to preach part one of a sermon this morning. You'll have to come back and hear part two tonight. I started working on this thinking I could get through it, and it got longer and longer and longer and longer, and I decided that it was the best thing for us to do is part one this morning, part two tonight. I don't like doing that, but I think once you see where we're headed with this, you'll understand why. So here we go, Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They that may teach the women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Lord, your people are here today. Your house is full. God, we need you. So many times, hundreds, I have made the statement, probably thousands, this church is a hospital. It's not a museum. We're not here put on display because this old carcass and this old preacher is nothing but a sinner. There's nobody here that is that good that we could be a display model. But you've given us the Word of God and the example of Jesus Christ. And Lord, this is a hospital where we come to get the help we need to be more like you and less like ourselves. And may we get the truth that you have for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Today, I want to help you. There is a few topics that I enjoy preaching on. If you were here last Sunday, you watched me throw a fit twice. I preached on the topic of hell last Sunday morning. To be honest with you, you can ask my wife. It was hard on me. I don't enjoy preaching on hell, but I must. It's in the Bible. Last Sunday night, I preached. We had the lights out in here. We had coal oil lamps. We had lanterns hanging from the suspension wires up above the ceiling here. And we had an old-fashioned lights out. Well, I'd throw the fit, amen, and cut loose a little bit. And we had a good service that last Sunday night. But I'll be honest with you, it's not my favorite kind of preaching. Today may be one of the subjects I enjoy preaching on the most. That is the topic of the home. The home. And I want you to look at your Bibles again there in Titus chapter 2. I want to show you something that I was sharing this with Brother Stoltz just before we walked out of my office this morning, that it just jumped off the page. Brother Brining, I've been preaching for 34 years, and I think just in the last 2 weeks, it's the first time I've seen this verse this way. It just is amazing. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become, I want you to notice the next two words, sound doctrine. Now I want you to look at the very next little two dots there. That is a colon. Now, look at me for a second here. God wrote this book, not man. The word of God was settled before the foundation of the world. That book was written in heaven before there ever was a man. Titus did not write Titus chapter 2. God wrote it before there ever was a Titus. Titus is the secretary that penned it down, but it wasn't written by Titus. God didn't put the thoughts in Titus's mind, and he wrote them out in his words. They were given to Titus word by word by the mouth of God. Everybody doing okay? The Bible says that not one jot nor tittle shall pass. Guess what? Jot and tittle. Those are accent marks. They're just little dots and dash type marks. That means this colon, these two dots, one on top of the other, were given by God. In English grammar, that colon means this. You are separating one thought or getting ready for a list to follow. That sentence is not complete at the end of verse number one. Now look at it again. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then God starts going through some issues of the home. For the first time, I realized God calls teaching on the home doctrine. May I say this? The devil has done everything he can for thousands of years to teach false doctrine against the home. I am sick and tired of the attack by the enemy on the home. America has waged war on the home for decades. It's so bad now that America has been drinking the Kool-Aid of liberalism, evolution, and the demoralization of the home that America is actually starting to believe the attack on the home, and we've accepted it. The attack on our homes by government, by education, by liberalism, by Hollywood, and by weak religion is beginning to gain victory in America today. Now, listen to me very carefully. I am not against government. I am for government. I am against too big a government and too powerful a government. Our founding fathers said it best. Thomas Jefferson was a prophet. Thomas Jefferson went to a Baptist church every service for 1 year straight and said, "We need a Baptist type government for our country. It is the best run thing in our country." He also said this, "Any government big enough to give you everything you want is powerful enough to take everything you have away." Now listen to me very carefully. Liberalism, and by the way, I don't care if it's government liberalism, moral liberalism, religious liberalism, you name it, liberalism in general, is destroying the home. We can call something else science, but it is nothing but a religion, and it's called evolution. Charles Darwin in the 1850s, with his wicked philosophy of evolution, it was to explain away God. He was an atheist and needed something to explain away God. By the way, every communist nation in the world in the 1800s gravitated to evolution so they could keep communism alive. America now teaches it as science, and it's still proven wrong. By the way, we can teach evolution and it's okay in our public schools, but you mention Jesus Christ and you're going to get suspended or thrown out of school. A man in our country this week who fought in Iraq, listen to this statement, found out because of Common Core that his daughter was being taught about the Islamic religion. There was a 3-page report they had to do on Islam. And as a Marine, he went there to oppose it. He was kicked off his child's school property and told to never return and should keep his mouth shut about it. This is a man that gave his life to fight Islam. It's time for people to rise up and rebel against that kind of garbage. I said this twice already. I'm not afraid to say it again, and I'll go on record for saying it. The mayor of Houston has no business telling preachers what to preach. Stay out of the pulpit, mayor. We'll stay out of the state house. You stay out of the church house. She has no right to subpoena pastors for their sermons that include things against what she is for. Say, well, I don't think the house of God ought to be political. Then read some of Jesus' sermons in the New Testament. I'm not pleased about what I must say for the next few moments. We can murder children in the womb and call it a choice. But a parent who properly disciplines a child gets investigated for abuse. That is wrong. Check out the next thing I'm about to say. Brother Jerry, I told you this week. He looked at it and he said, preacher, that's satanic. 20% of the students on the college campuses of America today, listen to this statement, believe that it's okay to have post-birth abortions up to age 4 or 5. Now, the term post-birth abortion means murder.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Murder. 20% of our publicly educated college students have been taught that it's okay to murder a child up to the age of 4 or 5 because human children are not self-aware like other mammals' evolution are. Now, folks, I parented 3 children. I still have one in my home for another year or so. When them puppies are 1.5, 2 years old, there were days I wanted to kill them. I'll be the first one to tell you that. You say, why? Because they're kids, amen? We didn't see things eye to eye. 20% of our young people have been taught that it's okay to have a post-birth abortion. And that it would be okay because human children are not self-aware. God forbid. And just so you know, in another 30 years, those are the people running our country. You let a parent properly, biblically spank their child and they'll put you in jail. Take your children away. But it's okay to murder a child and call it a post-birth abortion? God help us. Listen to the statement. False doctrine. We have been teaching false doctrine too long about the home. Once you notice, God calls teaching on the home doctrine. It is doctrine. We've let the public schools, the government, and God-hating liberalism destroy the doctrine of the home. I don't blame the government. I blame yellow-bellied coward preachers who are afraid to get up and tell the truth. I blame so-called men of God who don't have a spine, who say, well, we just ought to love everybody and we got to get along. Folks, I love everybody and I don't mind snakes, but I'm not going to play with a rattlesnake. See, well, I don't think you ought to harm it. If it comes close enough, this boy's going to harm it. God said, have dominion over the earth. If it's going to kill me, I'm going to kill it first. See, I don't think you should. Well, then don't do it, but I'm not going to let it get me or any of my family or anybody else that I love. By the way, I won't let it get somebody I don't love. You doing okay? Now listen to me. We have let the false doctrine, listen to this, of equality destroy the homes in America. When you are hatched, you can look on your birth certificate. It says male or female. Check here. There's only one way they have to base that. That's how you're plumbed. Did I say that okay? Whew. I've worked all week long trying to figure out how to say that. Do you know that you can't go into the mind of a newborn baby and that newborn baby tell you, I'm confused what I am? You weren't born a sodomite, you were trained one. When you're hatched, it doesn't say male, female, or other. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. It is not okay for two sodomites to have children. Say, well, equal rights. Women need equal rights. You do have equal rights under the Constitution of the United States of America. You have the right to a quick and speedy trial. You have the right to all of your freedoms found within the Constitution of the United States. No, I'm not for paying somebody a higher wage just because of who they are, what color of skin they are, what color of skin they're not, or what gender they're not. I'm not for that. But may I say this, that's not equal rights. Ladies, do you want your daughters to grow up and look like Hillary or Nancy Pelosi? Lord have mercy. That's what the ERA does for you. Madeleine Albright? Good night. She's got a face that would stop a Mack truck dead in its tracks. Amen, Brother Ray? Even though you push the accelerator a little harder. Folks, they don't want equal rights. They want to destroy the home. By the way, I don't care what our government says, I'm not marrying a sodomite. Everybody doing all right? Well, they might take you to jail. Take me to jail. Not doing it. I will not sanction something by God that is a holy union that God says is abominable. I refuse to do it. Just so you know, I don't hate the sodomites. I hate sin. I hate drunkenness as much as I hate sodomy. Government's all worried about it, but they're making billions off of people drinking alcohol. That's why they legalized marijuana. So the government can make more money. I'm against drinking alcohol as much as I am sodomy. I'm against people lying as much as I am sodomy. I don't hate all liars. I hate sin. Today, I want to give you God's doctrine on the home. And just so you know, I'm not interested in being politically correct. Have you seen what we have in politics? Why would I want to be correct by their standard? I trust God over any politics, Republican, Democrat, Independent, or whatever other party you want. I want to give you what God says doctrinally about the home. Let me say, marriage is to be between one man and one woman. Period. End of discussion. And not a man that thinks he's a woman, and not a woman that thinks she's a man. If you have to go get it put on by plastic or taken off, something's wrong. Everybody doing okay? I do not hate people. But this man of God hates the sin God said I was supposed to hate. I hate the effect of sin. do. I wish you had to deal with all the people's problems based on their sin. When you start seeing the effect of sin, you'll start hating sin more. By the way, I hate my sin. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Point number one, we're going to talk about the doctrine of men in the home. Tonight we're going to talk about point number two, the doctrine of women in the home. Ladies, that means you're supposed to show up to church tonight. You can poke him all you want in the ribs this morning, but you come back, we're getting round two tonight. Hang in there, fellas. Equal opportunity, amen? Ladies cry, ERA, well, you're going to get it. Bible says, verse number two, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. Skip down to verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound in speech that cannot be condemned. Wow, that's a good list. By the way, look at me. God calls this doctrine. It's as much doctrine as salvation. It's as much doctrine as the Holy Spirit that we've been teaching on Wednesday nights. It's as much doctrine as the doctrine of prayer. It's as much doctrine as any other doctrine God says in the Bible. Now, the Bible says that the doctrine of men in the home means that a man should be sober. It's not just talking about the fact that you shouldn't be a drunkard. Though, I will say this, you shouldn't be a drunkard. Drinking alcohol is wrong. I don't care what our government says. By the way, hang on. Everybody look at me. I love you. When we do the Lord's Supper tonight, it's not going to be Mogan David. It's going to be unfermented juice. I don't care if you're the Pope, a pimp, or any other idiot. You shouldn't be drinking alcohol. The word wine means the fruit or the juice of fruit the moment it leaves that fruit. We think the word wine means only fermented juice. Uh-uh. If you went to the Welch's company where they make Welch's grape juice, which is what we'll use tonight. Say, how do you know? Because I already bought it. But if you went to the Welch's grape factory, juice factory, they call it a winery. Because the moment the juice leaves the fruit, it's considered to be wine. Well, Jesus turned water to wine. He believed in drinking to wine. If he did, he wasn't the Son of God. Because he said, woe be to them that put a drunkard's bottle to another man's lips. He called it sin and he called it abomination. And there was no sin and no abomination in Jesus Christ. If you look at that chapter in the book of John, you'll find out that the person at the wedding feast said, hey, you got the new wine. You left the good wine to the very end. Usually it's getting pretty raunchy by now, but you got the good stuff. You got the new wine, that's new juice. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
The word sober means principled. It means the right state of mind. By the way, when you're drinking alcohol, you're not in the right state of mind. Matter of fact, you're not even in the right country of mind. We need men who can think. Not worry about what the polls or somebody else says. I am so sick and tired of lily-livered, spineless men. Now, thank God we have a church full of good men here. But may I say this, it's time for us not to worry about, okay, this is what they're saying, and I'll believe this for right now so that I can get elected. I'm not interested in what people are changing just so they can get your vote. By the way, we need men to think right, no matter the price. Fellas, there's coming a day where you're going to have to take a stand for your home, and it might not be comfortable, but take the stand. I will not reveal the situation. There's a family in here that in the last couple years has gone through some battles with government and their children. They came to me and said, "Preacher, what should we do?" I said, "Let's fight it." I said, "This is false. It's been proven false. We're going to fight it. Somebody's got to stand up to these creeps. They don't have all the power they think they have." Guess what? We won. We won. Say why? Because somebody stood up to them. Now, if there was wrongdoing, we would have looked at it differently. But may I say this? There was no wrongdoing. They were in the right all the way. And guess what? Somebody needed to stand up and say, "You're not as powerful as you think you are." By the way, I'm not as powerful as you might think I think I am. But when I stand on that book right there, I've got all the authority in the world I need. I'm not cocky, I'm not arrogant, but the mayor of Houston isn't going to tell me what to do. Neither is Mayor Cairo, or any other mayor, or the president, or any other politician. They can keep their politics out of my pulpit, and I'll stay out of where what they do. Huh. We don't need men who play video games instead of working. We don't need men that are on Facebook more than they got their face in God's book. Get off Facebook and put your face in the book. Bible says, next thing is, men need to be grave. That doesn't mean dead. Not much good when you're dead. The word grave means honorable or honest. Honorable or honest. Not Bill Clinton, Eric Holder, or Harry Reid. I don't think you should call names. Okay, don't do it. I did. I could list them forever right now. We need men who will tell the truth no matter how bad it hurts. By the way, that means at work too. Did you know that America is starved for men of honor? Men of honor, Jeannie, it was my honor to do Bill's interment at Arlington this week. My soul. There's a man who fought in Vietnam, fought in one of the bloodiest battles of Vietnam, a battle called Ya Drang. He was in the first drop of the 101st Armored Division, the Army, got pinned down, and in his unit, and I won't go very far into detail, but they got separated, and Bill's unit was separated for about 30 hours. Now, don't hold me exact on timing here, but listen to this. Only six of them survived. Bill was one of those six. God gave me the honor to do his internment at Arlington. But listen to me very carefully. I didn't hold back the truth. Not at all. Brother Taylor, you were there. Jeannie and y'all were there. I told the truth. By the way, Bill got saved about a year and a half ago. You know, when Bill said, "I wish I would have got saved a whole lot longer ago, my life sure would have been a whole lot different." I used that. Say why? That was an honor. Now listen to me very carefully. America is starved for men of honor. America is starved for men of honor. You teenage boys, learn to tell the truth. Learn to look at your mama square in the face and said, "Yes, ma'am, I did it. I was wrong." Learn to look at your daddy knowing that you did wrong and say, "Yes, sir, I did wrong." That's honor. Everybody doing all right? You girls, learn to tell the truth. Quit trying to lie your way around. By the way, some of you men need to learn how to tell the truth at work. Well, I might get docked. Well, get docked and be honest. It'd be a... Probably you'll get promoted for telling the boss the truth. The Bible says that we need men who are temperate. Okay, I'm going to preach on my sin. The word temperate means men who are in control of their anger and don't let it control them. Ouch. Listen to me. That means you need to learn how to control your anger. Jesus was not some long-haired sodomite that wiggled when he walked as he walked on the face of the earth and said, love, love, love. First of all, Jesus didn't have long hair. That's another sermon. Second of all, he didn't wiggle when he walked. You don't attract fishermen to leave their fishing business. Tax collectors, professional people, they don't stop their business and immediately follow somebody that wiggles when they walk. Matter of fact, when you wiggle when you walk, you don't sit outside the temple, make a cat of nine tails and walk in and kick over the tables and chase out the money changers. He wasn't wiggling when he walked in. He walked in and said, yeah, yeah. He was getting them out. You say, how do you know he said that? Because that's what he said. It's in the Greek, all right? Folks, the Bible doesn't say you should never get angry. It says be angry and sin not. I can get angry at sin, or I can get out of control and sin with my anger. You see, you can discipline your children in love and be firm, but when you lose control of your temper with your children, you've crossed a line. Everybody doing okay? Do you know there is a way to spank your children and not lose control? There were times I sent my boys to their room, not so that they could cool down, but so I could cool down, because I wasn't ready to paddle them. If I did, I would have beat them. So I didn't. I calmed down. I made sure I was in check with my anger. There were times I thought what they did was funny, but I couldn't let them know that. Say, what was that? I had to appear angry, even though I thought it was funny. Did you ever see some of the crazy things kids do? I was principal in a school. My wife had a student who signed his dad's name to a demerit slip. Ooh. Now, there is a vast difference between a third grade signature and an adult signature. The third graders, you can read. And I called the parents and said, look, we have a forgery issue. And I told the parents, and dad was ready to kill. Mom was not happy. I said, you know, if we make a big deal of it now, I don't think we'll ever have this problem again. So I called mom and dad in. They were going to have to paddle their child. I said, but let's catch them. So I brought them in. I had mom and dad, myself, and the student there. And I said, what's this, Doc? He said, demerit slip. I said, who signed it? My dad. I said, really? I said, Dad, did you sign this? I handed it to him. He said, it's got my name on it, but that's not my signature. I didn't sign this. Somebody else signed it with my name. Oh, boy, was sweating bullets, man. If somebody would have lit a match, he would have blown up from all the gunpowder, man. It was everywhere. I said, do you know what forgery is? He said, no, sir. So I began to explain what forgery was. Told him how people go to jail for it. Man, he was trembling. I thought, man, this is, Lord gave me something. I said, by the way, that's why all the false versions of the Bible are bad. There's only one real one, and everybody else is trying to copy it, and they're bad copies. I said, that's why Preacher and I throw a fit about King James Bible being the Word of God for people in English language. It said all the others are copies and are wrong, and they misrepresent God. I said, got that? Yes, sir. I said, now, who signed that? My dad. That was the wrong thing to say. Dad went, come here. He said, I did. I said, okay. And Dad took care of business. We had a meeting with the Board of Education on the seat of knowledge. Amen. And everything was fine. Do you know to this day, that was, he's out of high school now. That was 10 years ago or more. Did you know that to this day, that boy won't sign nothing without his name on it? That's called proper discipline. Now listen to me. We need men who are temperate, controlled. The Bible says men sound in faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Do you know this book? By the way, we need men who aren't afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take a stand for God. You've heard me preach about your kids taking their Bible to school. Hey, men, you ought to take your Bible to work. They ought to tell different jokes when you're around or say, oh, can't tell that. So-and-so's here. He's a Christian. We need men that will show up at all church services unless they're sick or work. And by the way, we need men who aren't going to listen to false doctrine. Listen to only good doctrine. Next, the Bible says we need men of charity. I love this. No pun intended. The word charity is the word love that gives. It doesn't mean just love. It is a love that gives. We took all that food up to a food charity. What are they going to do with it? Eat it all? Nope, they're going to give it out to people. They're going to give it, and it's called charity. Everybody doing okay? Love given with expecting nothing in return. Nothing. I made this statement to some of our men this morning. Brother Hiles used to say, you've never loved till you love somebody that cannot love you back. There is nothing more, and please, ladies, let me finish my statement. There's nothing more unloving than a newborn baby. It can't do nothing. It can't. Well, yes, it can. It can cry. It can eat. It can spit up. And it can mess up a diaper. But it really can't do much more than that. But you've never experienced real love till you love one of them little critters. You all know what I'm talking about. That's called real charity. You know, it's easy to love a Jerry Lowther. Wait till you have to love your enemy. You know, it's easy to love your mama. At least it's easy to love my mama. But you know what? Wait till you have to love somebody who hates your guts. I'm sorry, your insides. Can I tell you something, men? God says we need men who will love their wives, love their children, love their friends without expecting anything in return. More marriages break up over men expecting something from somebody they love than anything else. Marriages break up from women expecting something from somebody they love that they do not get heartbroken. Folks, you don't love expecting something in return, you love. Did you catch that? Just love. I'm happy loving, and I don't expect anything. I get the pastor. This is the greatest job in the whole world. Say why? Because I get to love people whether they like it or not. Nah, 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 nah. I don't need your love back. I enjoy it. I enjoy the expressions of love back. But my wife and I are happy giving it. We don't give a rip about whether we get it back or not. We're just having fun. We are having, by the way, we work ourselves to death to get more problems so we can help more people. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you something? Learn how to love those in need and not worry about what you get in return. Politicians don't love you. They just want your vote. Oh, vote for me and I'll do this. Yeah, right. Why don't you do it and then we'll decide whether we vote for you or not. I'm not worried about what you're going to do. What are you doing? Got to hurry here. We need men of sound in patience, the Bible says. It says sound in patience, verse number 2. Men who can endure what they do not want to get, Men who can endure what they do not want to get what they do want. We talked about patience in Sunday school this morning. We need men who don't whimper and whine about how hard life is and how bad they hurt. I'm tired of whiny men. I'm tired of whiny boys. Now, ladies, hang in there. My boys were taught, if it's broke and sticking through the skin, okay, you can cry. But not too long. My 18-year-old boy, before he left for Bible college over a year ago, he was out mowing the yard for the last time before he left for college. Decided the grass was so wet, it got clogged in the catcher. He didn't turn the mower off this time and reached his hand in there and thumped his finger with the lawnmower blade. That thing took the end of his finger and like that. It was a good one. My wife called me, my daughter actually called me and said, we got to take Jeff to the hospital. He just cut his finger in the lawnmower. Okay, I'm here. He's there. I'm thinking, oh, my soul. I said, let me talk to your mom. I said, how bad is it? She said, it's pretty good. I said, is it off? She said, no, but it's dangling. I said, how far up? She said, just under the fingernail. I said, hold on, I'll be there. Say, why? Because my wife doesn't handle those emergencies quite as well, though she was doing good. I thought, this is going to need a man's touch. I got home, and he's sitting over the sink going, I said, yeah, we're going to the hospital for that one. It's going to need some stitches and some cleaning. So we loaded him up, and he's sitting in the back seat, about 6 shades grayer and whiter. Amen. He said, Dad, can you tell him the neighbor's dog bit it? I said, no, we got to tell. He said, why? He said, I am so mad at myself. I know better than this. I said, I know, but they need to know how to help you. Well, tell him I cut it with a knife. I said, I cannot tell him you cut it with a knife. I said, we got to tell him so they can help you the right way. So he walks in, we tell him what's going on. The one nurse comes in, she said, young man, I have to ask you these questions. She said, I know you're 18, but you still live at home. Was there any abuse involved with this? You know, did somebody force you to do this? He said, no, my own dumb fault. Well, yeah, there was abuse. The lawnmower abused me. I'll be honest with you. I was so proud of my son at that moment. And then I'm watching him peel down that finger and start picking the dirt out of the bone and picking grass out. And I thought, ooh, man, you better be glad for Novocaine because that makes me hurt just thinking about it. Ladies, I did not tell him to put dirt on it and rub dirt on it, all right? It was too big. Now, there was a lot of others I told him put dirt on it and rub it, but this was a little bit more serious. We need men who aren't going to whine and wimp out on things. We need men who are so prepared in life that they can drive, lead, and work with patience. Okay, get mad at me in advance. Here we go. We need men to be men and endure work, pay their bills, and help with the children and keep up with the work at home and not act like a martyr because they did it. Oh, it's so bad. I worked all day and I got to go mow the grass. Oh, poor baby. Next. Need men who show a pattern of good works, the Bible says in verse number 6. A pattern of good works. That means a good work ethic. That means you can get your fat, lazy carcass out of bed and go to work and be there on time. Men who can get up early, stay up late, work two jobs if they have to make sure the bills get paid. Need men who work for the Lord and not for themselves only. You know how my dad trained me to work? I wasn't allowed to set a price for mowing yards. My dad said, if I hear you say you're going to charge $5 to mow that grass, he said, I'm going to make you give it back to them. He said, you go do the work and let them pay you what they think you're worth. Whew. By the time I was 16, I bought my first car, paid for my own insurance, and paid for my own fuel for that car, and I never did charge anybody anything. Shoveled snow, mowed grass, cut brush, sometimes cut the wrong things. Man, I did it all. I did not charge anybody. I guess I did okay. You say, how many hours do you put in? None of your business, but I put a lot of them in. I probably average 75, 80 hours a week. Doesn't bother me. By the way, I don't push a time clock either. We need men who are hardworking. By the way, some of the hardest working men I know are sitting in this room today. The Bible says men who are sincere. In sincerity. We need men with pure motives. Fellas, the women ought not be afraid to be around you. Have a good motive. Everybody doing all right? Man, it got quiet on that one. We need men that'll do things for love, not for profit. Men who will do things for love, not profit. I'm not afraid to stand in this pulpit. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't need your things. I just want to serve you. You all are good to me, and I mean that. But I don't need your things. I just want to love you. You're good to my wife and I, better than we deserve. But may I say this, I don't need your things. Don't be worried. I'm not going after your insurance policies. I preach against pastors who get up and say, okay, you're supposed to leave a certain percentage to the church when you die. That's wicked as hell. Now, if you choose to do so, do it. But I'm not going to get up and preach it. Everybody doing all right? I'm not here to say, okay, Jeannie, you just lost your husband and you need to give X percentage to the church. That's wicked as hell. She can tell you, I sat in her living room yesterday, sitting on the chair while she sat on the couch and said, if you need help, let me know. I'll help you so that you don't have any worries financially. I didn't ask her to give one penny. Not going to either. Say why? Because that's the way it's supposed to be done, isn't it? Man, I'm having fun. We need men who do things out of love, not profit. We need men who care as much or more about their family as they do their own career. Men, when you go home, leave your work at work. Put the stupid cell phone up. Put your computer up. Quit doing work at home unless you're working from home. Usually on Monday evenings, I'm out with the girls, my two girls right there. And you might text me, you might call me, I might say, can I get back with you in a little while? Say, why? I'm on a date with my girls. Now, if you have a real life-threatening emergency, I'll help you. But if I'm out with the girls, guess what? I'm out with them. I can't tell you how many times I take a briefcase home, but they never... And by the way, I have for 25 years I've been married. But I don't work at home while my wife or children are awake. Say why? I'm home. I'm to be with them. At home, I'm not their pastor. I am their pastor. But at home, I'm dad or husband. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Well, I don't think you should be that way. Okay, but I love my wife. We've been married for 25 and a half years, and we're still on our honeymoon. Thank God. Doesn't bother me. You hear me joke. Man, I can't wait for another year. My daughter's at college. Just her and I at home. Say, you shouldn't do that. Okay, don't, but I'm having fun. Some of you are more bent on your career than you are your family. More marriages break up after 25 years than any other age group except the first 2 years of marriage. Can I tell you why? That's when the kids start leaving home and you don't know each other. You've been building a career for 25 years, not a marriage. Next, men that are sound in speech. Men who know how to tell the truth. Men who don't gossip. And by the way, men are as guilty of gossip as women. I worked in the machine shop. I know what I'm talking about. I was working beside a foreman one night, and about his wife that he was about ready to leave. I said, "Do me a favor." He said, "What?" I said, "Shut up." He looked at me. I said, "I don't want to hear about it." I said, "If you don't have something good to say, just don't talk." Folks, don't listen to it. Some of you men talk about how bad your wife is. If the people you worked with met your wife, they think she's Mrs. Hyde. Dr. Jekyll's wife. Can I tell you something? Learn to be sound in speech. Brother Barnes, your wife is my secretary. She's never heard me say one negative thing about my wife, ever. Your wife knows how deeply I love my wife. Say why? I'm trying to protect your marriage as well as mine. Everybody doing all right? Have you ever heard me say one negative thing about my wife? No, because she'll beat me over the head with a frying pan. I ain't doing that. Man, those new ceramic ones hurt too. They don't leave marks. They just leave bruises, amen? Fellas, can I tell you something? Just because you know something negative doesn't mean that the whole world needs to know about it. And let me just pull up and park right here as your preacher. This trash of church discipline. That if Malachi does something wrong, he's supposed to come up and tell the whole church what wrong he did. That's as wicked as Satan himself. That's wicked as hell. Malachi, have you ever done anything wrong? You better shake your head yes, because your mother was like this, ready to whack it if you didn't. Let me ask you a question. Who in here has done nothing wrong your whole life? So why should he have to get up here? And let me ask you a question. What good is it going to do if you knew anyway? What can you do about it? Hello? Well, if you have a place of leadership here, you should go up before the church. You're an idiot. By the way, the day when it's your children or your sin, you're going to be glad your preacher preaches this way. Well, that's just covering things up. covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If God's not going to judge you for your sin because you got saved, what right do you have to play God? I'm sick and tired of it. Well, I know the real truth. Right. Who'd you get it from? Well, so-and-so, who got it from so-and-so, who got it from so-and-so. But I know it's the truth. The word sound words means mature words. We need men to talk like men, not like little boys. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, I acted as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I know men who talk more about their video games than they do their marriage. I know men who talk about playing more than they do work. Can I tell you what's fun? Work. Man, I love work. Can I tell you what's fun? Marriage. I love my marriage. I do. Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you what's fun, being a parent? It's not always fun. But, by the way, playing isn't always fun either. And you earn the right to play. I love playing with my wife and my daughter. Man, we play games. We do all kinds of things. You got to see us when we go miniature golfing or something. We'll play twice if I lose, because I'm going to win before we leave. They've learned to let me win so we can get out of there earlier, amen? Man, when my kids were little and we'd play board games or something, they'd be 4, 5, 6 years old playing board games. You say, did you let them win? No way, Jose, I had to win. If they won fair and square. When my boys started beating me playing chess, I quit playing. That's good preaching, whether you like it or not. Say why? I wanted them to learn how to get it right. I'm not going to lie. Now, my wife may have fudged and let them win, but I wasn't going to. The doctrine of the home. Just so you know, I'm not interested in being politically correct. I'm interested in being biblically correct. You're old-fashioned. Thank you. Back in the old-fashioned days, nobody would have ever thought of the term post-birth abortion either. Back in the old-fashioned days, if you murdered a child inside the womb of a lady, you went to jail. You didn't get paid for it and get lifted up as a hero. You can call me whatever you want to call me. But I'm tired of the attack of the doctrine of the home. We're listening to the devil's attack on the home. False doctrine about the home. Today, this morning, I hit you, Ben. Come back. Point number two, the doctrine of ladies in the home tonight. That was an elbow. It wasn't a goose, all right? Can I tell you something, though? Thank God we have the man Christ Jesus as an example. The man Christ Jesus. Listen to me. We've believed too long that Christianity is the bad guy. It's not. It's the right way to live. Say, well, I don't think that, it doesn't matter what you think. What does God say? What does God say? Do you know that you don't have to die and go to hell? You say, I don't think you ought to say that word. Okay, don't say it, but God does. I'm not afraid of it. I don't like it, but I'm not afraid of it. I live my whole life loving people so that they don't have to die and go to a place called hell. I'm not going to be politically correct and not talk about it. For about 70 years in our country, we've been told don't talk religion or politics, and we have a godless communistic society today because of it. Time somebody starts talking about it. Everybody doing okay? By the way, he's not one God called by different names. It's Jehovah God, or you're believing a false God. He doesn't have many ways. He said there's one way. That's through Jesus Christ. Not through the church, not through baptism, not through the preacher, not through anything that you did, not by works of righteousness which you do, but by the shed blood of Jesus Christ to take you to heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. But you raise your hand and say, I'm not 100% sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. The doctrine of the home. Some of us have already reared our kids, but we've got grandkids coming up. There's some things we could shore up. We could help people in the church. Say, there's something in that sermon today, preacher, man or woman. There's some things in that sermon today I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Yep, scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you need to use this altar, you come. If you've been saved and need to be baptized, we can take care of it today. It doesn't get you to heaven, just as an act of obedience. Maybe you've been saved and baptized, you'd like to join our church. We'd love to have you today. Maybe you just want to come to use this altar and pray. There will be dozens at this altar, I promise you.